to ask about feeling not necessarily sad or happy, but feeling kind of empty or not really feeling anything at all. Not kind of numb.
Yeah. Well, that's actually an expression of fear. Because I'm saying when you sort of reflect on your experience of life, when do you feel most alive?
When you're feeling emotion.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Good old Mr. or Ms. Mind is afraid of emotion. Because as you probably spoke about in your classes, the mind is deep down, I'm speaking about the Western mind now, is quite insecure. Because even the mind knows that it doesn't know what it needs to know to guide you through life. It's a small capacity. It's just about perceiving and responding and reacting to the presence of loss. And again, what it provides for is fight or flight, which means get away from the loss or overcome it. Now, that doesn't connect you to, it's not designed to connect you to anything. It's designed to help you get away from something. Fear, I'm talking about. Right? Mm-hmm. So since it's not connective, you know, if you're not connecting to someone, you're not connecting to a situation, you don't really know that person in that situation, right? So it's kind of isolates ourselves. It's a separation emotion, okay? And so if you don't really know what's going on, well, that in itself is scary. So the mind tries to compensate for that. And one of the ways it compensates for it is says, well, I'm really your best friend and I know how things should work out. And in order for them to work out in a way where I don't have to experience loss, I've got to control everything. So everything has to be predictable. Everything has to be understandable to the mind. And the mind is a control freak. So in the presence of emotion, any of the emotions, the mind kind of freaks out. It says, whoa, here's something that I can't control. Something bad may happen if I allow myself to feel this. So it tries to get us to not feel anything. And when we're in that state, guess what? We're numb. We don't feel anything. Actually, we do feel something. What we're feeling is our fear disguising itself as the absence of feeling. But it's the feeling itself. It's just a little trick it has, declaring, you know, I just don't feel anything. Well, the experience of not feeling anything is an experience of fear, of feeling something. Because guess what? We're always feeling something. Always. So the antidote is to open yourself to feeling what you feel. And so, for those of us, which include all of us, who have been brought up in this Western mind-oriented way, you know, that's a scary thing. Well, the thing is, a lot of times, well, unless there is the actual presence of, you know, what's the legal term? Clear and present danger. Okay, like you're really going to lose something important if you don't get off out of the road and step back on the curb because there's a bus coming. Okay, that's a legitimate and important use of fear. But a lot of times, it's not like that. In the presence of fear, and if the fear says, if you're afraid of something, don't do it. So this is a way of the mind trying to stay in control. Okay. So how do you deal with that? Well, the answer is you have to reach for your courage. And when there's a presence of fear, there's always also the presence, or at least the potential, of courage. But courage is not a mind thing. It's a heart thing. So you have to reach for it in here. And there's something in you that says, okay, on the one hand, you're scared shitless of this. But on the other hand, I, as heart, as courage, is saying, this is the thing you just got to do. So you reach for the courage and you do it. You don't wait to have, you know, 3 more decades of psychotherapy hoping that you're going to get to the enlightened stage where there's no fear. Guess what? That's not enlightenment anyway. But in the presence of fear, you find your courage and you go for it. And so you go for it and you find, well, if you stop to reflect, you're doing or saying or whatever it is that you were scared of doing. And if you step back and say, oh, let's see, where's the fear? It's gone. And you find yourself in the move and you do feel joy. Even though the expression may be angry or maybe this or maybe that. I guess the first step is just to be aware of this when it's going on. And then the next step is to recognize that, you know, do you really want to make the proclamations of your fear and your mind, do you really want to grant them the status of being the ultimate truth? Or, if you look at your life, you see, you know, my mind is always telling me that just do what it says and things will work out well. Well, do they? When you take an action, or refrain from taking action out of fear, does it really provide you with anything good, and joy, fulfillment, and stuff like that? No. So if you look at it that way, you end up saying, you know what? I've been taking my mind and what it says very seriously here, but I think I've come to the conclusion that my mind is actually a big liar. So I don't have to take it that seriously. And I don't have to take my fear that so seriously that it stops me from doing what my heart knows I need to do. And as you practice that, and it takes, I'll tell you what, for people like ourselves who have the disadvantage of the kind of growing up and living in the society that we live in, and you know, I don't think there's any exceptions here. So if you find yourself, you know, dogged by fear, just know that you're not some sort of unusual, freaky something or other. You're just dealing with what everybody is dealing with, but most people are denying it. But if you have enough courage to look at it and determine that your mind has been lying to you, and you find a way to find your courage and do what is just there to be done, well, it takes practice, it takes persistence, because there's so much training and reinforcement from the society in doing it the other way. But you stay with it and you find it does get easier. And you find yourself living a richer life. And you don't have to be, you know, it's curious to me that, I don't know if this is still current, but I know at least a couple of years ago, there was this huge fad, I would call it a huge interest, in a lot of movies and books and stuff about zombies. You know.
About what?
Zombies. And of course, what Hollywood makes out to be zombies are is not really what zombies are. But anyway, so I say, well, what is that all about? And I come to the conclusion, it's like a reflection that we have actually become a nation of zombies. People who are sort of, not that we're, you know, sucking blood or whatever they're supposed to do, or I don't know, all that kind of stuff. But we've become sort of zombies in the sense of unfeeling automatons, and living life that way.
It's a good time to announce that healing camp for zombies coming up.
So we're all in the right place. From the mind's perspective, you know, predictable misery is better than unpredictable joy and success. You know, it really wants things to be predictable so it can maintain its illusion of being in control. But it's not a great way to live. But I wanted to stress this part again, that know, this is a journey. Learning and practicing to move out of that kind of tyranny of the mind. It's and it takes some courage. It takes a lot of persistence and a lot of practice, because there's been so much reinforcement, starting with one's parents and going on. The whole society is trying to sell us this same bill of goods and rewarding us for going along with it. So, in some ways it's simple, but it's not easy. It's something that takes a lot of, it takes a lot of effort and patience. But it's really, I think, the best game in town. And when you find yourself, falling off the wagon, just dust yourself off and get back on. It's like, like a toddler learning to walk. I don't know if you've ever observed that, but they're learning to walk and they fall down, and maybe they cry a little bit, and they get back up and try it again. And that happens over and over and over again. Now, if they were big people and that happened, they'd never learn how to walk. And say, I'm just doomed, I can't do it, it's too hard, or it's impossible, or I'm a this or that.
I wonder how the baby zombies learn how to walk.
It's easy, because when they fall, they feel nothing.